We might have added jobs in March, but then what?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In about an hour, we'll get to say something we haven't been able to for a while. The U.S. economy created new jobs, and a significant amount. Economists are guessing the government's monthly employment report will show an increase of 150,000 to 200,000 jobs in March. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
What's behind this job creation?
Well, you know, even though the recession's technically over, it's still been eating away at jobs, more or less 20,000 to 30,000 a month. To explain this turnaround, I called up Heidi Shearholtz of the Economic Policy Institute.
The March numbers are going to be weird.
Okay, we don't usually hear an economist say it quite that way. Mm-hmm. She says most of the new jobs are a one-time or a short-term deal. The government's hiring temporary census workers, and businesses caught up on some hiring they had to delay back in February because of snow days.
Okay, so it's a weird month, but is even this job growth at least a good sign?
Well, definitely it is, especially since job growth is likely to keep ramping up, if slowly, from here, which creates its own problem, sort of a good problem, says Shearholtz.
We have seen a big drop-off in the labor force. We have seen people drop out entirely because they've become discouraged. They've given up. Once jobs start being added, those workers are going to start coming back.
And that means that the unemployment rate, unfortunately, probably won't budge a whole lot below 10%. It's about 9.7% now. That's because more people are hitting the pavement and starting to look for jobs again.
Right, jumping back into that pool. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you.
You're welcome.
A nationwide train strike in the UK has been averted. A court has banned the walkout, which would have caused havoc for commuters and Easter vacationers. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports the railway work stoppage would have been the first in 16 years.
The four-day strike by rail staff was due to begin next Tuesday. It would have stopped 80% of rail services for commuters and holidaymakers. The High Court, however, blocked the walkout due to voting irregularities during the strike ballot. Votes were counted from a number of workstations that don't exist. In one case, votes were recorded from a building that burned down a year ago. The union involved remains defiant. Outside the court, union leader Bob Crowe promised that after a fresh ballot, there would be a strike.
It's just a temporary halt to the hostilities that are taking place. But one thing's for sure, that we're coming out fighting. Round one, 15 rounds of a fight, and round two will start very shortly.
But a national rail strike now looks impossible before the election expected next month. The British government will be greatly relieved. The ruling Labour Party has close links with unions and has already been damaged by the strike at British Airways. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Not much stock trading today. The Good Friday holiday has many markets dark in Europe and most of Asia, but Japan, South Korea, and Shanghai were open and up slightly. Wall Street is off today as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market.
Friday is finally here, and if tonight is date night for you, you're lucky. For a lot of people, unemployment has put a big hurt on their social lives. From Youth Radio, here's Summer Sewell.
A year ago, Emmanuel Ricketts lost his job and his income. Soon after, he broke up with his girlfriend.
It was weird. We would get into a lot of fights on the weekend because there's an expectation to do stuff.
He says he couldn't afford his girlfriend. He had no extra money for dinners or movies.
When I lost my job and I had to slow things down, I don't know if she got, like, the real memo about that.
And that's just a fact of life for a lot of young people. No job, no relationship. Frank Blaney is director of youth development at Peace Over Violence. That's a nonprofit organization in Los Angeles. He works with high school students.
It's a lot of internal pressure, and I think sometimes that may cause them to even step back or out of a relationship just because they know they don't have the resources to make this whole thing roll.
There are no hard statistics for teen breakups, but money experts say financial problems in relationships can start young. Blaney says parents often don't realize that their children worry about having enough money to date.
I think a lot of them are probably unaware how big of a factor that is, since they're not seeing how young people socialize.
He says economic anxiety plays a key role in teen breakups, just like adults. More than half of married couples get divorced because of financial problems. Still, Emmanuel Rickett says he's a long way off from getting hitched. For now, dating is on the back burner because of his money woes. But, he says, his current situation will help him have a healthier relationship in the future.
I feel I did the wrong thing in building up this expectation that I couldn't keep up throughout the entire relationship. And it's going to make me analyze who this person is, what their motives are beforehand, because I'm not established yet.
He's waiting to find a partner who is a little, or maybe a lot, more understanding. I'm Summer Sewell for Marketplace.
That feature was produced by Youth Radio. And finally, here is all of the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. In the words of the president, drill, baby, drill. Or was that Sarah Palin? Well, drill we will, south of New Jersey, to be more specific, and north of Alaska, but not the Pacific. As long as we're still using oil in our cars, Obama is saying, then let it be ours. Speaking of which, the EPA set mileage standards yesterday, 35 for both highway and city. Compared to that, my minivan's not good. Speaking of which, when their gas pedal fails, you'd think that Toyota would go off the rails. And yet this week's look at their data unveils that March was in fact pretty good for their sales. Because when they got inventive with buyer incentive, consumers were suddenly very attentive. Now, you'd think that the point of being in debt is things that you want, you're not able to get. And yet, the iPad has early adopters hovering, sort of like helicopters. Will the iPad transform you? There's no guarantee, so tell us at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.